This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, Rob Fay Nation can't slow down. It's gonna go.
Carter on a break. He scores!
Boom! Look at, he's out cold.
The greatest pound for pound fighter.
The cream of the crop.
What is going on, everybody? I'm Rob Fay. Welcome to your Monday edition of Sports Bar Radio. It is the final day of May, getting ready for the summer. Beautiful day in Vancouver, by the way. And it is a beautiful day across Canada. Winnipeg winning for the winner of a Game 7 tonight. The NHL's got a Heritage Brand matchup where the Toronto Maple Leafs getting ready to take on the Montreal Canadiens. And history, well, let's just say it is not on Toronto's side. I will save that for a second from now because we've got a big show coming up. We're going to talk about Colorado. We're going to talk about Vegas. The fact that Nathan MacKinnon, in my estimation, is truly the best all-around player in the NHL. Connor McDavid, I am sorry, but there is somebody with one extra gear. As well, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. A very big day in Major League Baseball. Very big weekend in Major League Baseball, for that matter. And so much more. We're going to get into wrestling. AEW had their Double or Nothing this weekend. So many things to shoehorn into 1 hour, but you know how this goes. You know I say this every single show, and it's not going to change today. Let us get you to that one story that everybody's talking about. Let's get you to the lead.
We've scoured the globe for the stories that matter to you. Okay, well, let's be honest, Rob picks most of the stories, so maybe they matter more to him? Anyways, pull up a chair and let our bartender pour you a cold one because there's a lot going on in your world today.
By the end of the night, the Winnipeg Jets are going to know who they're playing in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's either going to be the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, the Maple Leafs built up a 3-1 series lead in their best of seven, and this is very familiar territory for Toronto. They are the masters of getting a 3-1 lead, and then they're the masters of crapping the bed in games 5 and 6, and recently 7. It's been 17 years since the Toronto Maple Leafs won a playoff series. Since that time, they've qualified for 6 postseasons. They are 0-7 in series-clinching games. That is the monumental task that the Toronto Maple Leafs have if they want to truly, quote, slay their own dragon, unquote. In Vancouver, you know exactly what I mean. But the problem here is Toronto has always been perceived as a team that can't get over the hump. They're chokers. And you know what? You can't disagree with that fact when you look at the numbers. But they have a chance with one victory tonight to rid themselves of that label. Not easy. They don't have anything going right now with Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews, who have combined for just one goal on 49 shots in the series. In the regular season, Marner was fourth in the NHL with 67 points, and Matthews led the league with 41 goals in 52 games. And yet history says that this could be a challenge tonight. In their two previous Game 7s, Marner has one assist, Matthews does not have a point. These two guys have to step up today. Their legacy as Toronto Maple Leafs hinge on tonight's game. Again, the Maple Leafs have not won a playoff series since 2004, when they eliminated the Ottawa Sens in 7 games. Think about everything that has happened between then. In 2013, the Boston Bruins. The Maple Leafs had a 4-1 lead in 2013 in Game 7, halfway through the third period. But the Bruins scored 3 times, twice in the final minute and a half, force overtime, Patrice Bergeron with a dagger, ending the Maple Leaf season. In 2018, Matthews, Marner, Riley making up that big old core. Toronto had a 4-3 lead in the third period of Game 7. Boston scored 4 unanswered goals and beat the Maple Leafs 7-4. In 2019, the Bruins did it again. They eliminated the Maple Leafs, this time with a convincing 5-1 win after forcing Game 7 with a victory in Game 6 in Toronto. Last season, the Maple Leafs couldn't get past the Blue Jackets either. Auston Matthews, after his Game 6 performance, said he didn't care about anything going into Game 7. He says, "We've been on the other end of the stick in these games, so we'd obviously like to rewrite that script. We have a great opportunity come Monday, so we'll be ready to go." Now, that is the history on the Toronto Maple Leafs collapsing. But let me tell you something bigger. That if they don't win tonight's game, You have to blow up that Toronto Maple Leafs core. We talk about it here in Vancouver, how the fact is they didn't make the playoffs and it's been 7 years and they just can't seem to get it done. And right now we hang on desperately to the fact that our core is going to eventually get us over the hump. Well, Toronto, you can't make an excuse. Even without John Tavares, you have a core that puts you amongst the top 8 to 10 teams in the National Hockey League. By now, this core, with all of that experience, should be able to get out of the first round of the playoffs. Hey, if they get through and they start playing Winnipeg in the second round, it'll be bygones. It really will. Trust me. Maple Leaf Nation and Canada will finally try, as much as they'll hate to admit it, to take a little pressure off the Toronto Maple Leafs because they will finally have gotten over the hump. But if they don't, you have to make massive wholesale changes because this core just can't get it done. They've had 6 or 7 years. And even though they've been able to make it to the playoffs in a majority of those seasons, it's obviously a group collectively that cannot win series. And trust me, you look around at the NHL, do you think they can beat Vegas? Do you think they can beat Colorado? Do you think they can beat Tampa Bay? I don't want to hear the anything can happen at a series speech. The bottom line is they're not even in that league right now with one of the best players and the highest scoring goal scorer in the NHL this past season. Work to be done. So even though this is a good Maple Leafs team, and you might say, yeah, bring them back for one more year if things go well or bad this year, you might get your wish. But I can tell you this right now. If they don't win Game 7 tonight against Montreal in Toronto, every player is available for a trade. Every single player is on the block. I don't care if it's Marner, Matthews. I don't care if it's Nylander. I don't care if it's Jack Campbell. Everybody. John Tavares, you have to make a significant change if the Leafs can't get it done. 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Toronto has all the pressure. Montreal was supposed to be dead to rights in Game 5 and then in Game 6. And here they are in Game 7 with one of the best goaltenders in the world, with all the momentum in the world, and knowing that the team that they're playing, if they can oust them, it'll sting that much more. God, I love hockey. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I am hoping for a Toronto victory. All right, it's not the only game of the NHL, not the only series in the NHL. We got a lot to get you caught up on, don't we? Heck, we can do baseball, basketball, football. We can talk all sports. And there's only one place on this show where we can go and do that. You know where we're going. It's time to put that comb through your hair, get a little aftershave on, and let's get to it. Let's get you into the VIP room.
You knew tonight was going to be a good night, didn't you? Guys, the ladies don't want you wasting their time, so get to the point. 10 topics, 10 minutes. Hold on to your drinks because we're about to bring you the entire world of sports before the DJ can pull out the vinyl for his next set. Welcome to the VIP room.
All right, so before we get to all the stuff that's going to be happening tonight between Toronto and Montreal, and we'll talk about the Islanders and the Bruins, where the Boston Bruins have a one game to none series lead in their second round playoff, let's really quickly look back on last night because there were a couple of statement games, one with Tampa Bay and one with Colorado. These two teams, for my money, seem like they're in a collision course for a Stanley Cup matchup. But let's get into that Colorado Avalanche lopsided victory, a 7-1 final over the Vegas Golden Knights, and it wasn't close. Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog each had 2 goals and an assist. Colorado wipes Vegas all over the ice 7-1 in game one of their second round playoff series. First 5 goals of the game were all Colorado's. It was over and it was over early. And that was just one part of the story. Today, in addition to that lopsided victory, many talking about Vegas Golden Knight forward Ryan Reeves, who's once again in a little bit of hot water for what many are considering a pretty reckless incident in Game 1 when he punched Colorado defenseman Ryan Graves in the back of the head and then took him down seemingly by his neck. That started a brawl. Reeves was eventually given a match penalty, which wouldn't be the first time when you think back to last year's Game 1 of the Western Conference Final when he hit Tyler Motte. Reeves ended up helping the Avalanche to a 9-minute power play. The Avalanche did score once on that 9-minute penalty. But this is the difference right now between Vegas and Colorado. Vegas immediately looked desperate, and Colorado looked like they were truly the cream of the crop in that series. Game 2 might be the whole season when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 1 of the series between Tampa Bay and Carolina, great second round matchup. Barclay Goodrow scores a tie-breaking goal in the third period for Tampa Bay. Yes, Barclay Goodrow. Didn't have him in the pool either. Don't worry about it. So the 2-1 win for Tampa Bay keeps their wagon moving forward. Braden Point with his 5th in the series as well. Kucherov with an assist. And right now the Hurricanes, who had a hard-fought victory in the first round just to get to the series, getting ready to take on a Tampa Bay Lightning team that is firing on all cylinders. Lightning in the postseason now 5-2. Now, what's coming up on the horizon? Game 2 between the Bruins and the Islanders. Boston coming off that 5-2 victory in Game 1. David Pastrnak right now with 8 points so far in the postseason. It'll be Tuukka Rask in net for the Boston Bruins, taking on Ilya Sorokin for the Islanders. All right, to the association. Remember when we were wiping the floor with Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers? Well, all of a sudden, Kawhi has stepped up to the mic, and the Clippers are still very much in the postseason. In a dominant victory in Game 4, the Clippers led by as many as 28 as LA blew out the Mavericks in Dallas, tying that series at 2 games apiece. Now that series is headed back to LA for Game 5. It's an incredible turnaround considering how bad the Clippers looked in Games 1 and 2, but the weekend was very good for Los Angeles. Kawhi Leonard led from all over the place. 29 points, 10 boards, 3 assists, 11 for 15 shooting from the field, and a game-high plus-minus of 27. And Dallas could be in trouble. Listed as questionable a day earlier, Luka Doncic did suit up and was ready for Game 4, but he found it tough to get it going. He has a neck injury, and right now that could be the X factor in this series. If the Mavericks can't get Doncic on all cylinders, Kawhi and the rest of the Clippers might be able to erase that early stench and come back and win this series, and all of a sudden look at all the haters and say, I got you. Other series in the NBA. It looks as if the Knicks' postseason aspirations are going to be short-lived. Atlanta with a 113-96 beatdown of the Knicks in Game 4. The Hawks now lead that series 3-1. A really good series brewing between Phoenix and the Los Angeles Lakers. That series is even at 2. Yesterday, Phoenix with a 192 victory over LeBron and company, and Brooklyn looks nasty. It looks as if they're finally firing on all cylinders. Look at the over-under on this one. Brooklyn 141, Boston 126. The Nets now lead that series 3-1. And again, the Clips getting past Dallas 106-81. So, what's on the docket for the final day of May? Just a couple of games for you. Philadelphia with a 3-0 series lead on Washington, looking to close out the Wizards. If they can, Philadelphia will get some rest. The other game from the Western Conference, Utah getting ready to take on Memphis. The Jazz lead that series 2-1. Off to the diamond we go, and you know what? It might be the best team that nobody is talking about right now. The Tampa Rays are 15-1 in their past 16 games. Mike Zunino homering. Phillips goes deep on his birthday. The American League East leaders winning their fourth straight, coming off an 11-game winning streak. It was a 6-2 victory over the Phillies yesterday at Tropicana Field, and again, fourth straight victory, 15 in their past 16, and they've extended their American League East lead over the Red Sox to a whole game. Boston has also played very good, but their game against the Miami Marlins was rained out on Sunday. Tampa Bay is up 4.5 on New York, who lost to Detroit on Sunday. And Kevin Cash says there's a lot of things going their way right now. There's nothing better than being a part of a team on a heater. And right now, when you're 15-1 in your past 16, you just can't wait to get to the diamond. Toronto Blue Jays, by the way, coming off a split in their most recent doubleheader. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays played 5 7-inning games this past week. It's the first time in Major League Baseball history that that's happened. Blue Jays are 6 games back at Tampa Bay, but they're just 1.5 games in the wild card. Seattle, just down the interstate, winners of 4 in a row right now, hanging around in the American League West, where Oakland leads that division at 31-24, but the A's have lost 2, so Seattle's been able to make up 2 whole games in the past 72 hours. They are back to 500 at 27-27, are the Mariners getting ready to take on Oakland. Mets with a 3.5-game lead in the National League East over the Atlanta Braves, 4.5 over the Philadelphia Phillies. St. Louis in an absolute dogfight. This has ended up turning into one of my favorite divisions in baseball. St. Louis with a 0.5-game lead on the Cubs, 2 games better than Milwaukee. And watching the Cubs just the other day, who recently won 6 straight, all eyes this season have been on Javi Baez. But you could make a case for a resurgent Chris Bryant, who many were suggesting was never going to elevate his game to what it once was back when they won the World Series. But Bryant so far this year has got great numbers. He's hitting .320 with 11 home runs and 34 RBIs. He's got an OPS of .990. And in his last 15 games over the last 2 weeks, is hitting .344. The Cubs right now very much a part of the conversation in the National League Central, and we all know the dogfight that's going on in the National League West between the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres. All three of those teams separated by 2.5 games. Hottest team of the three, San Francisco, they've won 3 in a row. The Dodgers have lost 3 in a row. The Vancouver Canadiens of the High A West League, if you want to localize it a little bit, enjoying their off day today. Vancouver Canadiens in a three-way tie for first in their division as they get ready to open up a six-game series against the Eugene Emeralds, and they will do that down at Ron Tonkin Field. Well, in the NFL, everybody looking at Julio Jones right now in the Atlanta Falcons to see if they can somehow fandangle him. There have been rumors with him going to the Patriots. Titans and Rams among the teams that are looking into a Julio Jones trade. Some people wondering if the Seahawks will go there. I think they're pretty happy with what they've got right now. A little bit of a local flavor here as Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool of Abbotsford said he would, quote, love to see Julio Jones in Pittsburgh. In Los Angeles last week, Claypool telling TMZ, that's who he's talking to these days, that he would love to see Jones come to the Steel City after 10 seasons with the Falcons. The All-Pro wide receiver is one of the hottest tickets right out there, and he is still property of the Falcons, but has said that he wants a trade. Pittsburgh, I think they've got enough. Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, James Washington. I'm not sure if there is enough room in that wide receiver core for Jones, but then again, you can never have too many superstars, as Chase Claypool said himself. All right, very quickly to the Squared Circle. AEW having their Double or Nothing on Sunday. Their pay-per-view was fantastic. We've got the results for you very quickly. The NWA Women's Championship up for grabs. Serena Deeb against Riho, and this was a great one to start things off. Deeb does get the submission to beat Riho and retain her title. Pretty good match. It was Cage versus the Hangman, Adam Page, and Page was able to defeat Cage, if you're still with me, and he did so via pinfall. Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, they retained their title. Good match against Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley. The Bucks hit Moxley with the Meltzer driver on the entrance ramp, and that really changed the flow. This one might have been the best match of the night. A little bit of color on Jon Moxley by the end of it, and more two counts than I think I've ever seen in a match. The Casino Battle Royal had a bunch of them, and it was the Jungle Boy, the son of Luke Perry, yes, of 90210 fame. He defeats Christian Cage, formerly Christian of Christian and Edge, and a lot of people thought that this was Christian Cage's match to win, but they put over the Jungle Boy, who will now get a shot at the championship. Cody Rhodes with a victory over Anthony Ogogo. Miro defeating Lance Archer for the TNT Championship. He retains. And one of the matches that many were looking forward to, but it did fall a little bit flat. Hikaru Shida, the champion, losing to Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. I was shocked that they had Shida go out via submission to win the title. You don't usually have a champion go out on a submission. Sting and Darby Allin getting past Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. This was a pretty good one. Crowd was hot for this one. It wasn't an all-timer, but they were all in on Sting, who played the crowd into a frenzy. And the AEW Championship, it was a three-way. Kenny Omega versus Pac and Orange Cassidy. I loved this one. This had a little bit of everything. The crowd is so over on Orange Cassidy these days, and he nearly had himself a couple of pinfalls, but Kenny Omega sneaks out and keeps his four belts. Pinnacle and Inner Circle in that stadium match. This was an interesting one. It was Sammy Guevara pinning Sean Spears to secure the win for the Inner Circle. This was a crazy one, but one of the most enjoyable parts of it, Daly's Place, where everything finally finished in this match, allowed the crowd to react to the finish and sing along to Judas to close the show. It was a great way to finish it. So All Elite Wrestling with a great pay-per-view. WWE, you are on the clock. And by the way, the new Jacksonville Jaguars coach, Urban Meyer, was a part of AEW's Double or Nothing, if you're into that kind of thing. And very quickly on the links, Jason Kokrak claiming the Charles Schwab Challenge over hometown favorite Jordan Spieth. Down in Fort Worth, Texas, it took Jason Kokrak more than 200 starts to finally earn his first PGA Tour title. He had to outduel Jordan Spieth in the final 36 holes of the Charles Schwab Challenge, and everybody was for Spieth. Kokrak carding a 70, which was his highest score of the four rounds that he played this week, but it was Jordan Spieth who struggled a 1-over-73, handing Kokrak the two-shot victory. Adam Hadwin finished tied for eighth in this tournament. He played fantastic. A 6-under puts him in the money. Corey Connors with his second straight strong outing. He shot a 71 in the final round, but finishes 4-under for the tournament. And Nick Taylor finishes tied for 62nd. He finishes 3-over with a tough day on the links in the final day, a 75. All right, we'll take our break here. When we come back, we take a look at the sport and politic crossroads. Some very big things coming to light here north of the border, and sport is coming to the forefront, showing us the road we need to take. I'm Rob Fain. You're listening to the Monday edition of Sports Bar Radio. We'll be back with segment 2 after this.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and Mad Men.
This segment is brought to you by Diagnose. Diagnose is a Canadian biotech company that uses eye scans and artificial intelligence to detect a variety of medical conditions remotely without the need for a doctor's visit. They're currently operating in 16 countries with 131 screening sites and just announced a move into Europe. Their ticker symbol is ADK. For more information about Diagnose, visit www.equity.guru.
Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with host Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity.Guru.
All right, welcome back to Sports Bar Radio. It's your Monday edition. I am your host, Rob Fay, and, you know, usually this is a segment that I reserve for a guest. You know, we're talking hip-hop or sports or something like that, but I just wanted to take this moment to talk about sport and the crossroads with real life, because I'm noticing more and more organizations in Canada coming out with the acknowledgement of the children's remains that were found in Kamloops. 215 Aboriginal children found buried near a former residential school up in Kamloops, British Columbia. And the country is taking steps to acknowledge the enormity of this unbelievably horrific discovery. The federal government even announcing that they would be lowering flags at half-mast. Now, you can say what you want about everybody acknowledging and lowering their flags, and I understand that, but this is an opportunity here to shine light on a part of our society that I think for far too long has been left in the shadows, and that is the overall treatment of the Aboriginal community in Canada. It is, to me, one of the black eyes that we have as a society, and this just magnifies that. Now, I know that the Catholic Church is going to be one put at the forefront here, because obviously they were the ones that were running and operating these former residential schools across British Columbia and across the country. But to me, you see the BC Lions and you see other organizations across Canada now starting to acknowledge this by wearing a certain color or lowering their flags. And I just wonder if that's enough. I mean, it's not. Let's just call it what it is. But the question is, what can we do to shine light on this on a larger scale and get the Canadian government's actions to align with what the rest of the country is feeling? For example, you got to remember that the federal government right now is still fighting residential school settlements in court. I'm not sure how that can make that apology feel 100% authentic. But you're starting to see memorials spring up across the country, many using rows of tiny children's shoes to visualize the magnitude of what has been lost. I saw this the other day. There was an organization in Vancouver that went to the art gallery and put out 215 pairs of children's shoes, and it was just an absolutely sobering moment where I thought, this has to be the call to action. And you know what's interesting is everybody watches sport. You have the Toronto Blue Jays, you have the CFL, you have National Hockey League teams that are playing actively right now. And they have a voice, they have a platform, and I'm really hoping that beyond just a moment of silence, that there's an athlete out there that can somehow step to the forefront. We saw a couple of days ago Ethan Bear, an Aboriginal, talk about the fact that he was taking on the fight of racism, but this is so direct and so immediate. Children in this country, in Canada, killed in masses, and as crazy as it sounds, it could be the catalyst to shine light on the entire Indigenous community and the challenges and the struggles that they have faced. A couple of the Indigenous nations tweeting an image of the Kamloops residential school on Sunday afternoon, asking people to place a teddy bear or teddy bears on the porch and leave your porch light on at 6 p.m. on Monday. There is an online petition at change.org calling on the federal government to establish a national day of mourning in honor of the 215 First Nations children. But to me, this is where sports can take to the forefront. It's more than just a quick tweet or dropping your flag down to half mast. It's an opportunity for us to truly step to the forefront and put this all together. I'm really hoping that beyond our government, that our athletes see this as an opportunity to open up that conversation. And credit to the BC Lions for being at the forefront of that conversation already. And by the way, there is tons of information out there if you want to talk about this. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission issued a final report on the residential schools more than 5 years ago. It was, I want to say it was almost like 4,000 pages, talking about the harsh mistreatment inflicted on our Indigenous children at these institutions, where more than 3,200 children died amidst abuse and neglect. Sad way to open up this segment, but I do feel very passionate that this is an opportunity in the midst of an unspeakable tragedy. All right, I wish I could lift your spirits here, but there's another thing that we want to get into with regards to the Olympic Games. Tokyo 2020 is now on the clock. They've only got a couple of weeks to decide if they're actually going to take on these Olympic Games. Now, there are some within the IOC that are hell-bent on pushing this through because there are billions and billions and billions of dollars at stake. But you sit back and you say to yourself, well, in addition to the countries that are debating whether or not they're going to go to Japan, one of the biggest medal-winning countries, you got to remember, is not invited to this 2020 Games. Russia is banned from the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games from that doping scandal a couple of years ago. So as we look to the United States and we look to certain countries for leadership as to what they're going to do or not going to do, Russia has been deathly quiet on this for the simple fact that they're not even invited to the party. So why would they want the Olympic Games to go on for fear that they would then be brought to the forefront as the dopers, as the cheaters? If anything, Russia probably wants the Olympic Games to go away, because their penalty doesn't get pushed forward to 2024, it evaporates much like the 2020 Games would be. So lots of questions. And another thing that I think we got to remember here, 3/4 of the world's vaccines have been implemented in just 10 countries on this planet. So many countries in Asia, so many countries in Europe, so many countries across the world are still battling this pandemic. And here in Canada and in the United States, as we see quote unquote life getting back to normal, it is anything but normal across the world. And I truly think that if Tokyo was to be a leader here, they step back from the 2020 Games. Take the loss. Hopefully there's a way to reschedule the games or recalibrate so that they can get them in a couple of years or when. I don't even know. But they can't have the world congregating in one place when so many countries are still being affected. And to be honest, I would like to see Canada pull back from the Olympic Games. I know there's a lot of athletes that have been training. There's a lot of kids out there that have aspired to become an Olympian. But first of all, Russia's not invited. Second of all, 60 to 65% of the planet is still battling COVID-19 significantly. And I just don't know how you can celebrate sport in the midst of such a shadow. I'd love to hear from you today. Do you think when it comes to our government and to our sports that they have enough of a voice when it comes to our acceptance of the indigenous struggles that we face across Canada? And do you think that Canada should be sending our athletes to the Olympic Games in Tokyo when there's so many things going on with this pandemic, which is still alive and well across this world? I'd love to hear from you. Hit me up on Twitter, at Rob Fay, R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I, and let us create a conversation there. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll get into the picks of the week. We'll get into a few more tidbits that have fallen from the tree just this morning about the world of sports and much more. I'm Rob Fay, and you're listening to Sports Bar Radio, your Monday edition, and as always, is brought to you by Equity Guru.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and mad men.
This segment is brought to you by Diagnose. Diagnose is a Canadian biotech company that uses eye scans and artificial intelligence to detect a variety of medical conditions remotely without the need for a doctor's visit. They're currently operating in 16 countries with 131 screening sites and just announced a move into Europe. Their ticker symbol is ADK. For more information about Diagnose, visit www.equity.guru.
Rock and roll, rock on, ooh, my soul. Hey, dear, rock and roll, rock on.
Did you lose your seat? That's okay. I have a better one up front. Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay.
Okay, just minutes away from our Wanna Bet segment, where I went 2-2 on the weekend. Considering the volatility of the picks that I took, I actually feel like 2-2 is okay. I'll let you know my winners and losers, and then I'll get you set up where you can make a little bit of money tonight. Fingers crossed. And no, I'm not touching that Leafs-Habs game, but again, just minutes from now, Wanna Bet, where we can hopefully work together to make you a little bit of money. But first, news coming from overseas this morning that the number 6 seed at Roland Garros, the tennis tournament in Paris, is out. The number 6 seed was Bianca Andreescu. She suffers her first ever tour-level defeat on clay. She fell to Slovenian Tamara Zidanec in a 3-hour and 20-minute match. All three of these going 7-6, 6-7, and then 9-7 in the opening round at Roland Garros just minutes ago. Zidanšek is 23 years old. She's ranked number 85 in the world, and she scores her first career win at Roland Garros, having lost her openers in her previous two visits here. There were 30 breakpoint opportunities for both players, and Saia Andreescu, who withdrew ahead of her Strasbourg quarterfinal last week, citing, I think she had some problem with her abs, hit 8 double faults. She had 63 unforced errors. So again, early this morning from Roland Garros, if you're a tennis fan, a Canadian tennis fan, Bianca Andreescu ousted in the very first round. Toronto Maple Leafs captain John Tavares taking part of this morning's skate ahead of Game 7's matchup against the Montreal Canadiens. After the skate, head coach Sheldon Keefe confirming that he would not be able to play in Game 7. Tavares has not played since suffering both the concussion and knee injury in that really scary collision with Corey Perry back in Game 1. Might be there for a little moral support. Frederik Andersen, Jack Campbell both on the ice as well. It looks like Campbell will be the guy between the pipes for Game 7, and I think that is, in fact, the right decision. And also from the NHL really quickly this morning, health authorities and the National Hockey League look like they're working on the final steps of a travel exemption between Canada and the United States for the final two rounds of the postseason. Canadian Press reporting that the exemption would let teams enter Canada for games without having to isolate for 14 days. That is currently required for non-essential travelers because of the pandemic. Two people within the federal government speaking on the condition of anonymity, because they're not authorized to speak publicly, say that this is close to getting done. Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal. The source is telling CP that the final approval rests with the federal immigration minister, Marco Mendicino. From the NHL side, Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said the effort was, quote, a work in progress. Cross-border travel in the NHL has been virtually non-existent since the pandemic hit North America last spring. Last summer, the NHL played all of their season in Toronto and Edmonton. All the American teams crossed the border just once in order to play. And that's big news because initially, I think if the reports were correct, the Canadian teams that did advance were going to have to play all of their games south of the border. So the fact that they would be able to play their home games on home ice is a very big factor for teams like Toronto, Montreal, and Winnipeg, whoever gets through, to be able to play those games. All right, as I mentioned, I went 2-2 over the weekend when it came to my sports bets. Everybody making fun of me because I took the over and some of the unders popped. I took the under in a game that featured Trevor Bauer and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and for sure thought I was in good standing when Trevor Bauer gave up one run over seven innings, but the bullpen for the Dodgers let me down, and that cost me the opportunity to get into the money. Well, actually, I wasn't that great across the board. Overall, I'm still hitting above 500, and I think I got three winners today. Want to bet?
I can't tell you how many times I've had to break up shoving matches between two guys fighting over what team they think will win the big game. Boys, you want to know who locks and who the long shots are? Why didn't you just ask?
Okay, let's start you in the association here. You got Philadelphia trying to close out Washington. They're looking for the four-game sweep, and you know Philadelphia would love that rest time if they can close out the Wiz. Philadelphia has now won 8 straight head-to-head meetings. The under, by the way, is 14-5 in Philadelphia's last 19 road games, and Washington is 13-6-1 against the spread in their past 20 games. The over-under on this one is 229.5, and that is right on the bubble. The predicted score, according to oddshark.com, is 122-108. I think Philadelphia is going to win. I think Philadelphia is going to cover their spread, which is 8.5. And I do think that this game is going to go over. I think Philadelphia is going to empty the tank here on Washington. Russell Westbrook's going to do everything he can do to keep this team in this series. But I got to think right now that Philadelphia is going to close them out in 4. So again, take Philadelphia to win, take Philadelphia to cover, and take Philadelphia and the over. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do this just so that I can further get involved in this game. It's the Canadiens and the Leafs, Game 7 in the NHL. You got to think that this one is going to be a low-scoring affair. The over is 7-3 in Montreal's past 10 road games. So you talk about momentum, you talk about all these things right now that Montreal is doing right to get back into this series. I got to think Toronto wins this one. There's no way that history bites him in the ass again, do you? Over-under on this one is 5.5 goals. I'm going to take the over, and I do think Toronto will win outright. So again, Vancouver, I know you don't want to hear this, but I think that the Leafs are going to finally bump the slump. Toronto, by the way, has won 9 of their past 13 meetings at home, so all of the numbers still skewing towards Toronto. I'm sorry, man. I see that carrot dangling, and I'm going to bite. All right, in one game from the diamond, it's the Seattle Mariners hosting the Oakland Athletics. This is an interesting game because Seattle at 500 is starting to ride hot, and they know that if they want to make a push, they've got to beat the team that they're chasing in the standings. That team happens to be the Oakland Athletics. Over-under on this game is 8.5 runs. You got Logan Gilbert, 0-2 for the Seattle Mariners with an ERA of 7.59, but it is James Kaprielian, 2-0 with an ERA of 1.53 going for the Oakland A's. So I think Oakland will not only win this game, but I also think because who they're throwing in this game, they're going to hit the under on this one. Seattle's offense, as good as they've been over the last 48 hours, running into some hot pitching here. Oakland right now is still the better team in this game. So again, Oakland to win and Oakland to hit the under. Okay, all I can say is good luck. I'm going to take Philadelphia on the NBA hardwood. I'm going to take Toronto on the ice, and I'm going to take the Oakland A's on the diamond. I wish you good luck. Again, before you make your decisions, if you're going to place a bet, please be responsible. Do your own due diligence. These are just my own picks that I do here on this broadcast. But again, if you're going to place your real money, please make your own efforts and your own decisions on this one. I'm just trying to give you some tips here and there. All right, let's wrap up this show. What a great opportunity to get together here on a Monday. Hope you're doing well. Get ready for a long week. There's going to be second round of the playoffs that includes a Canadian team, which is always a good thing. And more than anything, we're going to have a lot of baseball news, a lot of things trickling down to the NFL. Maybe Julio Jones gets traded. There's a report, even though just even a couple of minutes ago I said that Seattle wouldn't be in the cards. Wouldn't you know it? There's a report coming out there that says Seattle is, in fact, kicking tires on Julio Jones. I think everybody's going to kick tires. It's who's willing to give up the most to Atlanta to try and get those big hands that can help secure a few extra victories. It's fun, man. News changes by the minute here. And that's why you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Fay, R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I, and let's just keep the conversation going. I appreciate you subscribing and liking those 5-star reviews. If you could even just take a minute of your time and just give me one review, just something that can help bolster this show and its prominence on iTunes and Spotify and Google Podcasts and wherever you download your pods or even just listen to them. I would love to grow this brand alongside you. All right, my thanks to Jay Swing, my brother from another, producer extraordinaire, and to everybody at Equity Guru. These are the guys. This is the company that is allowing me to bring you this kind of content on the regular Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know you can come here for your lunchtime listen, and more than anything, I am so grateful to have good partners that have supported me right from the get-go. Chris Perry, Galen, JP Chung, and of course the straw that stirs the proverbial drink, Priscilla Choi. Until we do this again tomorrow, yeah, we're going to be back right at it less than 24 hours from now. I am Rob Fay, and this has been Sports Bar Radio, presented to you as always by Equity Guru. Have yourself a fantastic day.
Sports Bar Radio was brought to you by Equity Guru, investment information for the new generation. Visit us at equity.guru and let's make some money together. Please note, any mention of companies on this podcast is part of a promotional campaign, and the information you hear should be a part of extensive due diligence. As well, always get advice from an accredited financial advisor before you make any investment decision. Protect yourself.